Okay, here we go, hour number three, and back with us tonight is our friend of many, many years, Reverend Ted Pike, who is with us to talk about ENDA, ENDA. Now, if I were to go up on the street, or out on the street, or down the street, and ask any 100 people to tell me what ENDA is, I'll bet you nobody could. Any random group of 100, I'll bet one or two might say, I've heard of that. Nobody could tell you what it is. So what we're going to do is talk about ENDA, which is coming up for a vote in the Senate this week. This, just in a couple days. 3 days. And how important this is. This is a big issue. And always on the spot is Fireman Reverend Ted. He's always there trying to put out fires before they take charge. Welcome back, Ted Pike.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff.
All right. So what's ENDA, Ted? Tell our listeners.
If I could just read five different features of ENDA, which
sure.
is included in a recent emergency alert, and people can go and read that themselves, plus a couple of other in-depth articles explaining ENDA at truthtellers.org. All three of them are right there at the top of our homepage. But number one, ENDA is a federal workplace hate crimes bill that would give most favored status to homosexuals and transgenders in hiring and firing, housing, etc. Number two, employers could not refuse to hire or be able to fire someone because of their sexual orientation. ENDA will vastly increase homosexual privileges, stripping employers, employees, and property owners of fundamental rights. Number three, it will exponentially increase the power of homosexuals to sue or claim victimization.
Here we go again.
Yes. Number four, in addition, for businesses or institutions of 15 or more employees, ENDA stipulates that employees who are quote-unquote transitioning from one sex to the other or intend to may use existing lavatory and shower facilities of the sex they want to become. This means a male employee who says he is in transition to becoming a woman can enter the locker room of an educational institution and shower with young girls and women, mm-hmm. maybe your daughter, mm-hmm. with the authority of federal law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that in a nutshell is basically what ENDA is all about. And as I said, we can discuss all of these points more in greater detail.
Where did it come from? Who wrote this piece of garbage?
This all starts with the Anti-Defamation League.
They're behind it. All this social activism and liberal socialist communist dogma and sexual liberation and all the rest of it, however they want to phrase it, traces back to the
After the federal hate crimes bill was passed, the ADL boasted on its website, ADL.org, that their lawyers, their legal experts, had crafted the federal hate crimes law. All of this so-called anti-bias or anti-hate legislation, whether it's on the state level, the federal level, or in more than 50 countries of the world, basically starts with the rhetoric and the language, the twisted, the perverted, persecutive language that's inherent in ADL hate crimes laws.
Okay, so where did it go? Has it been in storage, up on a shelf somewhere? Did they freeze-dry it and then bring it back to life like the Frankenstein monster?
As I've mentioned on this program a number of times, the Tea Party Rebellion a number of years ago, what is it, about 4 years ago or so, really changed the power of ADL to push through a perverse bill after perverse bill in the Congress. What has happened is that there is a predominance of Republicans in the House of Representatives who are against so-called bias crime legislation like this. And so what that means is although the Senate what is poised right now to pass this legislation. The House is still holding back, but this is a very important vote at the end of this week, because what we've seen is that even though diehard anti-hate law Republicans like Senator Orrin Hatch and others have held their ground against this kind of legislation, and incredibly, Orrin Hatch has gone over now to support ENDA. And he and about five or six other Republicans have been kind of wavering over the last few months and days, but virtually all of them have now drifted over to support ENDA. In fact, just yesterday there was a vote whether or not to go forward with discussion and a vote on ENDA, and there was not a single member of the Senate who had any problem with that. I mean, vocally expressed any kind of opposition. So what would happen if this bill did pass this Thursday or Friday? It would set a very, very powerful precedent for wavering members of the Republicans in the House of Representatives, and we could see a similar drift over to support for ENDA there. It certainly would go halfway in ratifying ENDA.
You know, there are a lot of homosexuals, gays in this country, who understand that they don't need ENDA, but they don't get any media time, no attention. They understand the bigger game at work here. They're fine and confident within themselves and their chosen lifestyle. You can't legislate morality. What's going on here is an agenda-driven program. Same old, same old.
Yes. Well, basically, historically, this comes right out of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, 65, through 68, in which basically our traditional Christian Western conceptions of the sanctity of private property were turned upside down. And you see, going clear all the way back to the Bible, you have Jesus saying that a farmer has the right to pay different wages to different workers. Some work the full 12-hour day in the heat of the sun. They get paid a certain amount, and then people come in at the end of the day, and he needs some emergency help, and he pays them. And Jesus said, basically laid down the precedent that what a man owns is really none of anybody else's business. And just as a man's home is his castle, and nobody has the right to break down and demand to come into his castle, so our traditional view of property was that a man's business belongs to him. It's for his sustenance and his children and family and so on. And a homosexual doesn't have the right to, again, break down his wall and say, and come in and say, I'm qualified, you have to hire me. And basically that's what ENDA is all about. You see, the blacks received this preferential treatment under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And the country was only too glad to give them exorbitant privileges in quotas and forced busing and all this kind of thing, because we had the idea we needed to atone for literally hundreds of years of oppression against the blacks. But no one dreamed in 1964, when I was a senior in high school, that this privilege have preferential treatment in housing, in hiring, in firing, and certainly the preferential rights to call up the local district attorney and have an investigation of the employer if you thought you were being discriminated against. No one dreamed that that would be transferred to homosexuals a generation or so later. And yet, what ENDA is it's kind of the second stage of the civil rights movement, in the sense of dispossessing landowners, property owners, housing owners, and so on, of their rights to basically discriminate concerning who has the right to enjoy it. This is all Marxian. You see, the whole idea behind Marxism
that's at the heart of the agenda.
It is. It's Marxist, and the Marxist ideal is that that the so-called proletariat, the working masses who have been exploited by the bourgeoisie ruling class, the materialist, the capitalistic classes, they have a right to rise up and take, literally by force, the homes, the businesses, and enterprises of the ruling elite, and then distribute it among the workers. And this is basically the whole idea behind the Civil Rights Act and ENDA, is that your property, your business, really do not belong to you. Yes, you will be allowed to work it and develop it and pay taxes to the government on what you accrue out of your business, but the government has the right to tell you what you can do with your business as far as your own personal liberties.
Right.
And the essence of the ENDA bill is that the homosexual, if he is qualified, he has the right to basically come to your business, and if there is any sign of any kind of discrimination or reluctance on your part, then he is in a position to file a federal lawsuit against you, and
well,
have a federal government behind
completely
him.
Completely unnecessary and ridiculous. I'm sure that many of the homosexuals who listen to this program have no need for this. They're perfectly confident in their abilities. In point of fact, gays in this country are in many, many prominent positions of power and authority, including the White House right now. They don't need laws. They're very good at taking care of themselves. It's a very strong community. There are a lot of small communities in this country, but this is a fairly large one. And in some cases, in retail businesses, for example, there'll be gays in positions of management. They will hire their own over others who are not homosexual. So you have a reverse discriminatory potential here, which works with any minority group. Latinos will hire Latinos over Caucasians, and blacks will hire. It just works. That's just people. But keeping this idea of let's legislate it and fix it is it's just nuts to me. Doesn't work.
Senator John McCain is one
speaking of
wavering
nuts,
Republican in the Senate who does have a problem with that idea of reverse discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't present on the floor of the Senate to vote on Monday, but he has a problem with that, and it's a very, very big issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically, if you take one minority and you exalt them over the other so-called oppressor classes, who are the historic oppressors, immediately you are creating a discrimination against the former discriminators.
It's true. It's very
and
true.
That works. That's just a kind of a teeter-totter effect that we have in nature.
And then we have to pass more legislation down the road to correct that, and on and on and on. It's an endless process. Hold on, Ted. We have to pause, do our little break, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Okay, and we're back. I just think the idea of trying to legislate morality and such it becomes self-defeating in time. The better way to approach this whole thing is to properly educate the public, the masses, and
I think that this is not sincere legislation any more than the federal hate crimes law was.
Well, that's probably the worst. And we go back again years and years on this, which you've been fighting. The idea of hate crimes and hate speech is one of the most dangerous things. Look at every country that has this legislation. People become afraid to talk. And as I've said forever, when you become afraid to talk about something, you become afraid to think about it. It's just a natural transition.
Well, the 14th Amendment, of course, makes it illegal to prefer one group or class of people above the others. And that's basically what's happening here. You see, this is unique type of legislation, which is we can thank the ADL for, which exalts certain ostensibly persecuted groups such as blacks, Jews, Latinos, women, Indians, etc., to a more highly favored or preferred or protected class above the white male, white majority, Christian majority. And What you're talking about here is a kind of a wrecking ball type of legislation that is not so concerned about establishing fair play or equity or justice in the workplace. This is the real intention of this is to break down the bastions, the traditional girders of Western Christian civilization, which largely rests upon the sanctity of property. You see, greed is bad, exploitation is bad, but the idea of gain as a result of honest work or ingenuity is something which builds up society. And in fact, wealth, property used, is a barrier, a protection against tyranny and protection against those who would divest you or of your rights and persecute you. And so the whole Marxist idea is breaking down the bastions or the citadels of wealth. That's why when you have a communist takeover, like in communist China in 1949, first thing the communists did under Mao was to go to the landlords, kill the landlords, and seize their mansions, seize their lands, and distribute it among the people. And whoever the Marxists wanted to lead, they delegated, not because of natural ability. In fact, there was a very strong tendency in Chinese and Soviet communism to kill the intellectuals, kill anyone who represented this bulwark of order in society. And so what this legislation is really doing, under the intentions of the ADL, a Jewish supremacist ADL, is basically breaking down our Christian capitalistic laissez-faire system with its respect for property and the property rights, and basically stealing, which again is an assault upon property rights, stealing the rights of the that have been bequeathed by civilization for thousands of years to the property owner. And thus he becomes victimized, he becomes discriminated against by a new oppressing class, which is the whoever they want to exalt at that particular time.
Okay, I think the bigger picture here, and whenever you see the word homophobia or homophobe, it's one of the most misused words in the English language. Homophobia is defined as an irrational fear of homosexuals or homosexuality. Irrational fear, over-the-top fear. So homophobia is not used properly. And I just go back to my original position. Trying to legislate equality doesn't work. You've got to educate from the beginning to really literally prevent the problem from occurring later on. You cannot change the way people think. It's very hard to do. And that's what these bills purport to do. The anti-hate speech laws are just egregious examples of this. You can't, it just doesn't work.
That is very true. And what we have to realize, however, is that although we do appreciate homosexuals who are respected businessmen and civil...
Oh, look at the contributions they've made in the arts and in culture and all kinds of areas.
But on the other hand, there is a subculture in homosexuality which is very, very threatening to Christian civilization.
It's very damaging to young people. Yes, in every group, there are very negative and dark sides.
I have a friend who was a Portland City policeman, and he described how that every Friday night at 4th and Yamhill in Portland, the little boys are out on the street corner, and the gays come by cruising for which boys they want.
Yeah, that's enough to make you want to puke. I just
yeah, they call the boys chickens, and they are chicken hawks.
Yeah, well, the children should be that never ever messed with. This is
the fact is that as I mentioned years ago when we were fighting the hate bill, Representative Alcee Hastings. He said on the floor of the House in 2009, he said there were 547 paraphilias, which means sexual deviances or types of sexual deviant behavior within the term sexual orientation.
500.
Wow. 547. And these included all kinds of things, include urophilia, torturing, sadomasochism, even zoomasochism, torturing of animals and things like that. The thing that we have to face about ENDA is that all of these are being protected under the classification. According to Elsie Hastings, said the hate bill was protecting them. Certainly this bill will be protecting them. All of these deviancies are being protected in the workplace. So if a person comes in and they are a participant, a devotee of any of these 547 sexual deviations, they have to be hired whether you object to those or not. And so this is a tremendous assault, elevating the subclass, the subculture of homosexuality into the marketplace, and especially intimidating Christian employers. We find Christian employers routinely ideologically assaulted by the homosexual community. You probably are aware, as a fellow Oregonian, concerning this bakery here in Gresham, Oregon this spring.
No, I don't. Hold on, Ted. Would you please just hold that bakery thought, and we'll come right back, do our business, and return with Reverend Ted Pike presenting the Christian viewpoint of ENDA, which is coming up for a vote in just a couple days. Be right back. Okay, and talking with Reverend Ted Pike about his views on ENDA. Who's behind it, and who's pushing it, and what are the chances of it passing the Senate this week?
The chances of it passing the Senate this week are almost overwhelming. However, what we are doing at truthtellers.org through my writings and broadcasting is encouraging lovers of freedom to call specifically the Republicans in the Senate. We have about a list of about five of them who have been wavering over the last few months and finally capitulated and went over, except for John McCain. And this includes stalwart anti-hate leaders like Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah have gone over to supporting ENDA, which is incomprehensible. And we are calling people to come to Truth Tellers, get the names of those Republicans who for several years have opposed ENDA, but have for one reason or another drifted over to the other side of the aisle. And I believe that if we bombard those Republicans with calls beginning tomorrow morning, we can do a very great deal to shake their resolve. And if we only get two of them, only two, to back up and maybe join John McCain in saying the problems of ENDA are too great for me, I have to go back to where I was before. We have defeated ENDA in the Senate now, and we put it way behind. It would be a tremendous victory to keep it from having further influence over in the House. But why don't I just give the toll-free number to the Senate? That number is 1-866-220-0044. And there's an alternative one if that's too busy. It's 877-762-8762. Again, those are 866-220-0044 and 877-762-8762. And I'll just give you the names that, in case you would like to get started before work in the morning. Come to Truth Tellers. Those names are there at the end of all three of these articles on our homepage. But they include John McCain of Arizona, Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, Kelly Ayotte of New Hampshire, Bob Portman, who actually changed it, who went over just yesterday, Bob Portman of Ohio, Dean Heller of Nevada, and Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, as well as Orrin Hatch of Utah and just tell them, please, vote against the freedom-destroying and discriminatory Employment Non-Discrimination Act. As I mentioned earlier, John McCain is saying this is legislation which has potential for being discriminatory under the guise of ending discrimination. So I believe they will know what you are talking about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ted, we've got another 3 years of this regime to deal with. How does it look to you? Let's look ahead here. Let's pull back and look at the bigger picture. What are we doing? Where are we going? Doom and gloom. That's all you hear about. The dollar's going to crash. This is going to crash. That's going to crash. We may all crash because of Fukushima. But what do you see in the next couple of years for this country?
Well, quite frankly, I think that the Jewish supremacist power in the Western world is overwhelming. It's so deeply entrenched.
They own it. They own the game. They own the whole thing.
They do.
Sorry, and that's the truth. They own it.
It is so deeply entrenched.
If anything sticks its head up and has any potential of gaining traction, they destroy it, buy it, co-opt it, take it over. This is international Zionism. And,
that's right.
It is absolutely ruthless and doesn't miss a trick.
Yeah. I have been particularly seeing this power manifested. I've been writing and studying the problem of pedophilia, particularly in ultra-Orthodox Judaism in places like Australia, Israel, New York, and larger cities, even Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And while the Catholic clergy, a rare Catholic priest, may be guilty of something like that.
Yeah, I don't know how rare that is, Ted.
Well, I am no fan of Catholic celibacy, and I think it's a great contributor to it. But
yeah.
Relatively speaking, out of 100 Catholic priests, you certainly would have a very, very small number of those who would descend to that kind of behavior. But the epidemic of pedophilia within rabbis, within Orthodox Judaism, is something to behold. And there's a website run by an Orthodox Jew. It's called Failed Messiah, and he documents really hundreds and hundreds of these cases.
Right.
And they're continuing to multiply.
Right.
And yet, what I'm seeing is that the Jewish media, particularly in New York, is so strong that they can put a cap on these rabbinical abuse cases, which happen certainly about every 2 weeks in Brooklyn and Crown Heights and so on.
There have been a lot of them popping up, you're right, but they
are
the media.
And,
so,
and yet the power, the power is ominous. The power is overwhelming for them to kind of control the spigot of information that that the world receives.
Yep, exactly right.
And it's this... basically, the problem very largely begins with the fact that the Jews control the media. These Jews, supremacist Jews, not all Jews, but supremacist Jews control the media, and they are able to literally brainwash children from the kindergarten level that criticism of Jews and the Jewish people
you don't do that.
Has resulted in death camps.
That's right.
And death,
and you're,
Holocaust,
and you subliminally
and so
you're contributing to that horrible legacy by criticizing them.
That's
no,
right.
they understand manipulation and mass social engineering and mind control.
Yeah.
Hold on, Ted, we do have to do one more break here. I'm sorry. Come right back in just a minute. Was it 10 corporations control pretty much everything people buy and consume in this country? It's amazing. The concentration of power is just stunning.
It is ominous, but as you've probably been noticing, and many other people have, I have been feeling very much that I have to do more than just be a muckraker as far as the extent of Jewish control and how dark it is and how hopeless it is. And I've been posting a number of our Bible studies at truthtellers.org, which are quite popular with many evangelicals. We have about 12,000 listens to those every month at Truth Tellers. There simply has to be a moral light, a light at the end of this tunnel, because if we're limited just to prognosticating about how dark it is and how dark it will become. What's to keep us from burnout? What's to keep us from hopelessness? And I've experienced some talk show hosts that I've been on and thought I had a good thing going, and then I call them again and they're having a nervous breakdown because they just can't take the darkness anymore. So there has to be a combination between political reality and the high truths of Christianity, which lead people higher to the hope that is in God Almighty. And the Bible teaches that God is looking down and he takes politics very seriously. He takes the affairs of the nation seriously. And he sent the Old Testament prophets to testify against the wickedness of Babylon and Egypt and all those countries. He is concerned about all of this, but he wants us to look up to him in faith and trust and cry out to him as a little child, Jesus said. And Jesus said, if we come and we look toward Jesus and cry out to him in faith, he will not cast us aside. He will be responsive. And so there's something above all of this that we cannot forget. And Scripture says that the darkness of the nation is just a drop in the bucket to God Almighty, who controls the whole universe. And we need to return to faith. Nathaniel Kapner says the same thing I do. We need to return to Jesus, to the Christianity of our forebears that made this nation great. And that's why we have to oppose movements like homosexuality, like INDA, like Jewish supremacism, which are anti-Christ, which are anti-Christian morality and truth.
Well, it's interesting. You've got over 10,000 evangelicals now with in your camp, so to speak. That's encouraging.
Well, I should also mention that not only are these other forces like the Holocaust propaganda brainwashing our people, but the evangelicals themselves are very, very guilty. Their leaders and seminary teachers and so on over the last century. And also
they're some of the biggest dupes of them all, Ted.
That's right. And so what I try to do is in the prophetic tradition of the Old Testament, like Jeremiah and the rest of the great prophets, was to speak the truth politically and point my bony finger at sin, especially in evil Jewish leadership, but also to give to the people this light in the darkness, this light of hope that comes by returning to faith in God.
Why has it always been that the rank and file goyim, I'm being facetious here, but the rank and file non-Christian elements of most societies don't understand the Zionist, Bolshevik, communist, socialist agenda any better? They can't figure out why their morals and a moral society, whichever society it may be, is among the very first targets of these Zionist Bolsheviks. They go after the morals first, and they
yes.
cater to it with, now we've got porn, with drugs, with you name it. And that's how you tear the fabric of a society to shreds. You tear its morals up, and there's really not much left.
Yeah. In the book of Revelation, it says that the great harlot, which of course is Israel, there can be no doubt of that, a one-world government on the make we see today, but it says that the harlot holds up a goblet full of the wine of her own personal spiritual fornication and evil and spiritual adultery, but she also pushes it to the lips of the Gentiles and makes the Gentiles drunk with her own wine of her abomination. And that prophecy, that image is perfectly fulfilled today as we have terrible actions by rabbis against their own Jewish children, young people and children in these ultra-Orthodox communities. But we also find the rabbis in the Hasidic Chabad type of communities being involved in real serious drug peddling, crime, fraud, all kinds of
well,
things.
What they listen, Israel is one of the great purveyors. They own much, if not the majority, the dominant majority of the porn business. They're the world leading manufacturers and sellers, according to the media, of ecstasy, for example.
Yes, I know.
They are constantly trying to introduce more permissive and less responsible behaviors across the board. That's how they divide and conquer.
Yeah, it's necessary to tear down Christian civilization in order to build on the ruins of Christianity their own Judaic world empire. And this is the idea that we must do evil in order that good may come. And this, of course, comes from the Talmud, comes from the Zohar or Kabbalah. And Judaism has its own set of premises which are absolutely perverse today, starting with the ancient Pharisees that Jesus excoriated 2,000 years ago. Jesus put his finger right on the problem in its very formative stages. He said, "You wicked hypocrites, vipers, full of all uncleanness." And he knew prophetically, as being God, he knew what they would become, what they would make of their own people who followed him, and what they would make of the world.
And what have they made of the world?
Yeah. Well, they're just warming up, believe me. It says in Revelation, when the great harlot puts her goblet of wine of her fornication to the lips of the Gentiles, it says the nations become mad. The whole world is driven crazy by drinking out of the goblet of the Jewish fornication. And that's a perfect description of what the Jewish media has done to the world.
Interesting, when we talk so much about, and I will never allow this program or any program that I have control over to lump any group together, because there are always so many remarkable exceptions. But when you think about what we commonly refer to as people of the Jewish persuasion, of course that means a lot of things to a lot of people, but on the planet, the number of Jews, 0.2%. That's it. And it was interesting to me to see a very valiant Jewish member of the Iranian parliament standing up and criticizing Israel. See, we're not ever going to beat this thing unless Jews themselves, Jews of conscience, Jews of faith, Jews of morality, stand up and lead the way against those who call themselves Jews but are really just essentially Zionists. I'm keeping this very simple, but that's we've got to have their help. That's why I've always supported Jews against Zionism. And Brother Nathaniel Kapner, of course, first came to this program to get coverage. And I've been supporting his work. He's brilliant at it. Your work goes back 30-plus years in confronting this dark evil on the planet. And it is that. And unfortunately, they have sacrificed their own. Look what the Zionists did to the Jews of Europe in World War II. If you don't know what I'm talking about,
you've
got some research to do. Not you, Ted, but our listeners. No. They sacrificed their own people. They have no problem with it. So it's a very complicated situation, yet it is quite simple. It takes people being less fear-oriented now. They've got to be less fear-oriented than ever before to get out there and confront these things.
Absolutely. You know, in the last days before the federal hate bill passed, I was pretty much the only one who was continuing to fight the evangelical leaders at all.
Oh, you were it. You were it.
Considered a lost cause. But by banging the drums on quite a number of alternative stations and programs, I was able to bring in as many, if not more, calls against the hate bill to Congress, according to staffers there, than the most controversial issue of the last days, which was the Sonia Sotomayor confirmation. Now, that's a reminder. The Bible says, don't despise the day of small things. Don't say, when I'm telling people here tonight that they can make a difference, they can roll back into by the end of this week, if they get on the phone first thing tomorrow morning, I know what I'm talking about. And if I'd had a little bit of help, a little more help from the evangelicals like Dobson and others, we could have defeated the hate bill. But We can defeat ENDA if people will go to those phones. We have been told by staffers that when there's as little as one or two, or even maybe even 10 calls concerning a vital issue, that the senators are listening very carefully and are impressed that the people care that much about it. But even out of this program, we could get hundreds of calls of people, especially to these wavering Republicans. Come to Truth Tellers, get the phone numbers there again, get the names of the wavering Republicans, and let's make a difference for freedom for our children this week.
Very good, Ted. Thanks for being here and presenting that, as you always do, so well. Thank you.